Brothers and sisters, numbers must be our watchword, we said in last week's show. And we've been of late identifying where our numbers go. Nationalist ideology is a big one. I don't think I've heard any pundit aloud over the airwaves who doesn't speak of the state as us and our and we. Mutually exclusive tribal categories, another important way in which our unity gets subverted. And then there's authoritarian child rearing. We don't usually think of this in terms of reducing our numbers, our ability to unite as a global one, but I'm suggesting that it's important that we do. Because authoritarian child rearing generates for power the fruit of indefinite diversion, a lifetime of confusion for its victims, who are us all. And in recent shows, we've been thinking about how religious belief, and I'm putting religious in quotes because, as we'll see later in the show, there's a lot of political ideology, including on the left, that falls in the category of historicist, which falls in the category of religious. Religious belief in historical inevitability. And so, for instance, we saw in looking at the New Testament, nothing but to wait for the great restoration when all ranks fall. So perhaps we should just say historicist myths, versions various, that all result in our body's truth being disparaged. The truth of our needing our communal nature is our body's truth. The truth of our inherent freedom is our body's truth. Honored right now, not at some future time, off in the distance somewhere. And of course, our numbers go in droves, compelled by actors heretofore unknown, into simple survival, made subjects of necessity by manufacturing scarcity. And so these rifts we've been arguing are not historical accidents, but the result of a conscious malevolence, an activist ruler mindset. And I'm using the word malevolence intentionally because I truly believe that if you are consciously acting to make less your brothers and sisters, that's malevolent. Whether that's make less by means of physical repression or spiritual repression or the withholding of information that would allow us to see what's going on. That's suppression of our inherent nature. That is, I can't find any other way to describe it but malevolent. But the result of a conscious malevolence, an activist ruler mindset bent on acquiring what they think of as knowledge infinite. So it's most deaf not by happenstance that the mental frames for totalitarianism and class are one and the same. And these are the scarcity mindset, which is framed by the notion worth must be proven. We are not enough. Scarcity in every sense, not enough goodness, not enough caring, not enough attention. We talked about this in Revealing Division, that you must prove your worthiness to receive attention, recognition by a system of class. And then the major, perhaps, mindset of might makes right, that these mental frames for totalitarianism are the same as for class. When humans have to do what they're told, and that this is not discussed is proof enough that we live in a society, in a system that is totalitarian. I mean, because it's so obvious, isn't it? It just disappears into the background of things. You're in a job, I have to do this in order to eat. Well, what is that but a setup for totalitarianism? When humans have to do what they're told, else starve or shiver in rain and cold, that is a setup for totalitarianism. Scarcity forces our obedience, forces our compliance, forces us to accept the double lie that the best rule while the rest bend, that serves the interests of all of us humans. So this we now see clearly in the light of our Academe 3, confirmed in the work of Karl Popper and Martin Bernal particularly, the existence of a very self-consciously global ruling elite, motivated not by money, but by a longing to feel supreme, not in things acquisition per se, but as means for being supposedly supreme in knowledge possession.